Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Shravan. We've got Taran here with us.
Hello. That was a very fast intro.
Yeah, I want to speed through this.
Because we're on a time crunch.
Yeah, we have to go watch Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Another movie.
Yes, and we just have to finish this episode before we can do that. So
yeah,
here we are. So we're going to be talking about two movies that came out in the recent past. Last Night in Soho, the Edgar Wright directorial, and also Red Notice, the
other film. Person that directed that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Film starring Black Adam, Green Lantern, and Wonder Woman. Is that what we're going with?
I think it's Black Adam, Deadpool, and Wonder Woman.
Okay. I just thought.
Because you got to go with their current.
I guess so. I was going to go with the DC theme.
Yeah.
But okay. We'll go with that. Which one do you want to talk about first?
We'll do Soho one. First.
Yeah, we watched that night. One first, even yes. Though Red Notice came out
before it.
First, yeah. So Last Night in Soho, like I said, it's directed by Edgar Wright. So this is his movie. I think his last movie was Baby Driver.
Yep.
It was a little while ago, about 4 years ago, I think. It stars Thomasin McKenzie, Anya Taylor-Joy. It's also got Matt Smith and Dinah Rigg, who's was she in –
Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
And other stuff. I think she was a Bond girl.
A long time ago?
Nah, 2 years ago.
Well, I think she recently passed away, so I think this is her last actual performance. Yeah, anyway, we'll talk about the cast members. But, yeah, Matt Smith, one of the trivia, you know how they have those useless trivia?
Mm.
One of them for this movie was that Dinah Rigg was in Game of Thrones. And then Matt Smith is in the spin-off, the House of Dragons or whatever it is.
House of Dragon, yeah.
Yeah.
Great trivia. IMDb living up to its name.
Apart from that, like, there's not that many cast members in this. It's a pretty contained set of cast members.
It's got that guy. That guy. What's that guy's name? Guy in that Emilia Clarke movie.
Kind of the Emilia Clarke movie.
The one where he doesn't have legs or she doesn't have legs. Someone doesn't have legs. Someone's...
Before you. That, yeah, I know the guy. Sam Claflin.
That's him.
Is he in it?
He's
not in the top billing
yes.
cast members, but
he's in
I think
it.
I know who
he's
talking
the police
about.
Officer.
Okay.
In the flashback.
Was that definitely him?
It's 100% him.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's in it for a little bit.
It's got him for one scene.
The runtime is 116 minutes. So it originally came out at the end of October in the UK, and then we got it 2 weeks ago or like a week ago. Budget is $43 million, and the unfortunate thing is the box office is only $19 million so far. seems like not many – this has really kind of gone under the radar, this movie. Not many people know about it. It's just kind of come out and that's about it.
It's surprising. Not many people know about Edgar Wright. When I mention Edgar Wright to people, they're like, who's that guy?
Yeah. They know his movies, though.
They know his movies, yeah. But they don't know him.
So how many of his movies have you seen? So I've got – I've
seen all of them.
Okay, so have you seen A Fistful of Fingers?
I haven't seen that one. That one was his first one, isn't it?
That's yeah. his first movie.
I haven't seen his short movies, short films, and I haven't seen the first one, but I've seen the rest.
Okay, so his first director, like...
And I haven't seen his TV stuff, because he did that show with the guy in all his movies, Simon Pegg, yeah.
Yeah, so his first movie was A Fistful of Fingers in 1995, but then I think after that, most people have seen his movies. So Shaun of the Dead was his second movie in 2004, Hot Fuzz in 2007, and Scott Pilgrim versus the World in 2010. Then he was actually a writer for The Adventures of Tintin. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. No.
The animated movie. The World's End came out in 2013. That's called his trilogy, right?
The Cornetto trilogy is the not Scott Pilgrim, but the other three.
Yes. Yeah, with Simon Pegg. The ones with Simon Pegg. He was a writer on Ant-Man. He was meant to direct Ant-Man, but creative differences. But he's still credited as a writer. So I think they used most of his script for that movie. And then he made Baby Driver in 2017. So that's all that happened. He did do a short documentary movie called The Sparks Brothers, which also came out earlier this year. I haven't seen it, but I heard it's a pretty good documentary.
Is that a McDonald's thing? Sparks Brothers?
No.
No.
I think there's some...
We don't need to look into it. It's fine.
There's someone.
It's something.
They're brothers.
Yeah.
And then obviously this last night in Soho, which looks like he's actually been working on this movie for a little bit of time, 4 years. There was delays to this movie because of COVID, so it was originally meant to come out in 2020, like a lot of movies, but... It got delayed to 2021. All right, we can talk about the movie. So, positives and negatives. Last Sunday afternoon in Melbourne, we watched Last Night in Soho.
That was terrible, Jake. Soho's a nice place. I stayed in Soho when I went to London. Yeah.
It's out. It feels like it's a bit of a dodgy area by this movie.
No, well, I think maybe there's two time periods in this movie.
Yeah.
I think in early time periods it was a bit of a dodgy place, but now it's...
Isn't it meant to be like a shopping district?
Shopping, yeah. It's got Primark and all that kind of stuff, but it's also got the beers at night and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like our Chapel Street.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's about a girl that moves from the countryside, the English countryside, to London to pursue her higher studies in design, is it?
Or fashion design.
Fashion design. Yeah. And she moves into this place in Soho, and it's about that pretty much. And she starts having weird dreams.
She has the ability to see ghosts, which you learn
pretty early in the movie. Yeah.
And she sees a ghost from the past, and it's kind of flips between those two time periods.
Yeah. So it's like a psychological... I think people are calling this a horror movie. But
it's got horror elements.
I wouldn't say it's a horror movie.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it is either. But it's got horror elements.
I would say like most people wouldn't, unless you're scared of ghosts, you're probably not going to be scared of this.
There's some bloody scenes, but yeah. It's kind of like a murder mystery mixed with a psychological thriller.
Yeah. Kind of like Malignant.
Yeah, but this is good, and that wasn't.
Yeah, well, we were just about to talk about positives and negatives, so I was going to say this is probably the most unique and original film I've seen this year for sure. Yeah, something very different, something very refreshing. Just to what it's, if I feel weird saying it's refreshing because it's about like murders and stuff, but
it's pretty grim. It's a grim movie, but it was good grim. Yeah,
yeah, but it was. I really enjoyed it. I thought it's. I don't know if this is a recency effect because this is the last movie we watched, but I feel like it's probably up there with the best movie I've seen this year.
Mm. I wouldn't say it's my favorite movie this year, but it's really good. I did enjoy it. I think all of Edgar Wright's stuff is kind of a similar level of competency. They're all pretty good, but this is up there. Like I wouldn't be able to rank them better or worse, but this is like basically Shaun of the Dead's the best one, but this is up there.
Well, the other ones are... I guess Baby Driver had us. It wasn't as comedic either. But
we talked about this. He does a different concept for each of his movies. Genre, so
yeah.
Short of the Dead was a zombie movie.
Yeah.
The Hot Fuzz one is a cop movie.
Yeah.
The Scott Pilgrim is a comic book movie. And it's probably the best comic book movie adaptation ever happened. Like direct adaptation of a comic book movie. What's the other one? World's End. That's an alien movie.
Yeah.
Mild spoiler alert. And Baby Driver is a heist movie.
It's a heist movie. And then this is a murder mystery slash psychological thriller.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially. But they all have spins on the way he does it. It's not just conventional.
There was no moment in the movie where I felt, as opposed to the previous two movies we watched before this movie, like No Time to Die and Eternals, there was no point where I looked at my watch or
we felt bored or anything like that.
It was very engaging throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
The characters are interesting. Just the stories, there's a lot of intrigue in the story. So.
And if you look into it, the filming of this movie is amazing. Have you seen the Variety thing that Edgar Wright did?
No, I didn't. But there's, just the colors and the way, just the visual.
It's a movie that it feels like there's a lot of CG in it.
But there's not.
There's not.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's hardly any CG in it.
There's this amazing, you got to watch this Variety thing. There's this amazing dance scene in the movie with Anya Taylor-Joy and Thomasin.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, and it keeps switching between both of them.
Yeah.
And that was done with no CG, with one cut.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was, that whole sequence, basically you're switching between Anya Taylor-Joy and Thomasin McKenzie, and it seems pretty seamless. Like I know there's some magic happening.
Well, there isn't a cut. There's one cut.
Yeah.
That's it. And then the rest is them actually dancing.
Yeah.
And they go in and out, and it's so amazing.
I don't know. We can talk about it in spoilers, but I'm interested to see what Matt Smith was doing in that scene, because he's in both shots.
Yes. Okay. I'll tell you in spoilers how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and the cinematography, like now that we're on it, the cinematography was really good. It's visually, like all of Edgar Wright's movies, it's colorful. There's, just something visually engaging about all these movies. It was great. Negatives-wise, I don't really have much apart from just
the end's a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
I frankly liked it, but I can see some people saying it's a bit convenient.
It wasn't the payoff that I probably wanted. Doesn't mean that's bad. It's just not what I expected. But it was fine. It was fine for what it was. And it's not like it makes sense. It's not like they just pulled something out of nowhere.
No.
It makes sense.
It's convenient, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was good. And the whole psychological, explores like some like mental health type stuff as well, which was interesting.
Surface level stuff, but doesn't get too deep with it. But the movie is quite grim, especially in the past. Yeah. So.
Yeah. 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 There's no comedy in this one.
There's a little bit of comedy. There's a few laughs.
It's not
Shaun of the Dead funny though. It's not.
It's more like chuckles. It's kind of like moments of levity, but it's not. There's no comedy.
It's not a comedy movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But great. I really liked it.
Me too.
I really thought enjoyed it. More people should be watching this. I'm a bit disappointed on the box office.
People don't know Edgar Wright enough. I'm surprised that people don't know who Edgar Wright is.
because it's kind of all, if this wasn't directed by Edgar Wright, for example, would we have watched this?
No, I wouldn't have watched this. No.
Yeah. So I think that's the reason. Like, just going by the title last night in Soho, looking at the posters and trailers and stuff, I don't think people would go out of their way to watch this. But if you knew about Edgar Wright, then you probably would.
I think if Edgar Wright ended up directing Ant-Man and then he did the sequel, he would be a bigger director.
Much bigger. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But hopefully one day he does, I don't know.
He already does good stuff. If he keeps doing what he's doing, it's fine by me.
Yeah.
More people just.
Because I'm a bit like. And I think the reason I like this movie so much is everything that we watch these days is linked to some sort of franchise, or we don't really watch that many original pieces of creativity these days. Mm. Like it's all linked to something. It's all come from something. And this is like, I mean, we've seen murder mysteries before, so that's nothing new from that side, but just the way this was told and the concepts that he explores is pretty cool. Watch it.
Yep.
Yeah. We can quickly jump into spoilers if we don't have anything else to say. So it's a cognitive recalibration, obviously. Yeah. Spoilers. So the end, we can jump to the end. Well, essentially, like, okay, so Thomasin McKenzie's character, she can see, she's like the guy from Sixth Sense.
She can see ghosts.
Yeah, she can see dead people. They already established this in the beginning when she can see her mother who passed away. So she sees them in mirrors and stuff during the day. And then she moves to London and her grandmother. Yeah, her grandmother's very, like, concerned about her moving to London because she's like, oh, it's a lot to take in. It's a big city. And obviously she's from a country. So she's like this innocent girl that moves to boarding. So she gets – I thought the character that she was staying with, I thought – well, I wanted something bad to happen to her, but nothing bad happens to her.
Well, she nearly gets stabbed in the face.
She did, yeah, but she doesn't. Like, nothing actually happens to her. But, yeah, she's
– close stabbing. Yeah. That's a traumatic event, yeah.
But there's, like, this little subplot with her, how Edgar Wright, like, establishes that she is just, like, this attention-seeking person. Like, he does it in, like, one scene. It's pretty clever how – like, so everyone's just introducing themselves, and then Thomasin McKenzie's character's like, oh, my mother committed suicide, and obviously she's getting a lot of sympathy about that. But then she just jumps in, it's like, oh, my uncle committed suicide, and like she just wants to one up her at every step, which was interesting. But she is out of the picture pretty quickly because she moves out of that boarding, what is it? Like, it's just
student accommodation.
Yeah, student accommodation that she moves out of because it's party central, essentially. And she's not into that kind of stuff because she's from the countryside. So she moves to this small apartment owned by – what's her name? What's her name in the movie? Alex, I think.
Something Collins.
Yeah.
Alexandra Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the the role played by Diana Rigg. So she manages – she lives downstairs and there's a room upstairs that she rents out. So she moves there and then whenever she goes to sleep in this room, she moves back into the 1960s and she lives the memories of this girl called, she has many names, but I'm trying to remember the actual name that she is. Sandy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she starts seeing what happened to Sandy in the 1960s in Soho, in the same district. She lived in the same room, essentially. That's when the mystery begins and you find out that
Sandy's a serial killer.
Well, yes, but first, what she sees is not that, though.
She sees someone killing Sandy.
Yeah.
And she thinks Matt Smith killed Sandy, and she's trying to find Matt Smith.
Yeah.
But the plot twist is Sandy killed Matt Smith.
So everything makes sense up till that point to me, because everything she saw, I think, actually happened. I think. I'm not sure, actually, but I think it actually happened, except for her dying, which didn't happen. So I'm not sure why she saw that and not what actually happened.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm not too sure about, like why it played out the way it did. And she's always suspected this. She sees this old creepy dude walking around Soho that she suspects is Matt Smith from the past. Turns out he isn't.
It is because Matt Smith's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just a policeman, and he actually knows about Sandy and her serial killing stuff.
He suspects it.
So it was a good twist, because I thought it was him, actually, but then he dies very abruptly, and then you find out it wasn't him, and then she goes back to the apartment and she finds out that it was Sandy.
Judy,
Yeah. And that was good. That was a good twist.
I didn't see it coming, so yeah. You're not kind of looking for the twist when you're watching it, though. You're just along for the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just going with it, and everyone she meets at this school is pretty obnoxious, except for this one guy.
Yeah.
He's a genuinely nice guy.
Just a good guy. Yeah. Just a
nice guy. He wants to make friends with.
You're expecting him to like screw her over at some point, but he never does. He's just a good guy.
Yeah. And he was pretty funny as well in the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then the twist happens. You find out that she killed all these men and she buried them in the
apartment.
Under the floorboards of the top floor. So, and that's kind of why Thomasin McKenzie sees all these dead men around
her. Because there's all dead people around her. Yeah.
So it was good. And there was one point where she goes to the police and she explains this whole thing to them and they're obviously think she's crazy.
Mm.
And they ask her if she's, you know, had a family history of this stuff. And unfortunately, she did. So they obviously don't believe her. But she was actually seeing stuff that happened. So, yeah, it was an interesting, just an interesting concept, like all wrapped into this murder mystery. And he maintains the suspense basically throughout the whole movie.
So. Yeah. I hope you didn't listen to this point if you haven't watched it.
So. It's definitely, if you listen to all our spoilers, we did what spoilers are. We spoiled it. So
yeah,
but yeah, it's still worth watching. All right. Anything else on Last Night in Soho?
No, I don't think so. I just enjoyed it. There's not much to talk about with it. It's just a good movie.
It's a good movie.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently, so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
All right, Red Notice.
Yes.
So I watched this week on Netflix. I know it is in the cinemas, but why would you watch it in the cinemas when you can
watch it on Netflix?
When you can watch it on Netflix.
It is a Netflix movie, so it was made for Netflix.
It was, yeah. So originally it was a Universal movie, but they sold the rights to Netflix and then they produced it as a Netflix movie. It is the highest budgeted Netflix movie of all time, so $200 million.
And I think it was the highest viewed Netflix movie of all time as well.
I think so.
Yeah,
which is not surprising with the cast that it has. Originally, the budget was only $130 million and main three cast members, so Dwayne Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot, they each got $20 million to do the movie. But then there was all these expensive reshoots and stuff they had to do because of COVID, and that pushed up the budget to $200 million, which is very expensive.
Gal Gadot said that every scene that her and Ryan Reynolds were in together, Ryan Reynolds tried to make her laugh to break character. And that's why the movie's so expensive.
Apparently, he did a lot of like impromptu jokes and they had to keep
reshooting. Yeah.
Reshooting stuff. Yeah.
It's Ryan Reynolds' fault.
It's his fault. Yep. Yeah. They should have just taken it out of his $20 million.
Yeah. He got paid. Every time they had to reshoot, it's just less money out of him.
Just take $1 million out. Yeah. He'd have to end up paying them in the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as we said, it's starring Dwayne Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, Gal Gadot. It's also got Ritu Arya.
Yeah.
Who
Inspector Das.
Yeah, Inspector Darcy, who's in Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yeah, she is. Yeah, yeah, season two. Yep.
And it's got other people, but
they don't matter.
Don't really matter.
Yeah.
It's directed by Rawson Marshall Thurber.
Don't know.
Dwayne Johnson seems to have a lot of directors that just work with him. So he's another one of them. So he's made Central Intelligence.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Skyscraper.
Oh, yeah.
With Dwayne Johnson. And then before that, he made the movie We're the Millers.
Oh, yeah. That's a good movie, actually. Yeah.
Mysteries of Pittsburgh.
Don't know that. No.
That was one of his earlier movies. And his first movie was Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story.
Oh, everyone likes that movie. I haven't seen it before, but everyone says it's pretty funny.
That's the one with Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller, yeah.
Back in 2004. And next he's doing...
And Vince Vaughn, yeah.
And Vince Vaughn,
I think,
yeah.
Ben Stiller's the bad guy. I think Vince Vaughn's the main character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next he's doing a movie called The Division, which is a...
That's a video game movie. Yeah.
Tom Clancy video game that they're remaking to a movie. And he also acts like as... Well, he makes cameo appearances in his movie. So he was the... Handsome Pants Catcher in Central Intelligence. Do you remember that character?
No. I hardly remember that movie, let alone that character.
And in We're the Millers, he was the ultimate border guard.
Like, sure. I don't remember the cameo.
And he was in the movie.
What's he in this?
He was a director in this at the bar or something. He's in the background. He doesn't say anything.
Okay. Yeah.
He was in Easy A in a cameo as well. And he was in Dodgeball as well as the obnoxious Las Vegas homophobe.
Haven't seen the movie, so I can't really can't really attest to that.
So what's the story for this one?
Story is there's Dwayne Johnson. He's FBI.
Yeah, he's from the BAU, the Behavioral Assessment Unit, I'll say. Have you seen Criminal Minds?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of episodes.
They're from the BAU.
Yeah. Yeah, the serial killer unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. So he's FBI. He's looking for, there's three eggs. Cleopatra has three eggs. Two of them, they know where they are, but one, they don't know where it is.
Yeah.
So he's looking for this guy stealing the first egg. That's Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
He catches him. But then Gal Gadot steals the first egg. She's another thief. So Ryan Reynolds is the second best art thief. Because there's rankings for this for some reason.
Yeah.
And then Gal Gadot's the first best art thief.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. And Dwayne Johnson's the FBI agent. And they're trying to steal the eggs. And
it's basically that. And they go across the world trying to find these eggs.
Find the eggs, yeah. Because some guy wants it for his daughter
for a wedding. That's right. So they can get a payout. So it's – this movie was probably – to be honest, it was better than I thought it would be.
This movie's actually, for Netflix movie standards, this is like top tier Netflix movie standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's mainly, there's a couple of reasons. I think I like these kind of movies because it's got like, and I didn't expect this, but it's got like a bit of a National Treasure slash Indiana Jones slash that type of vibe.
There's even this one point where Ryan Reynolds is whistling the Indiana Jones theme as they go into a bunker.
Yeah. But it definitely reminded me of National Treasure a lot. If you don't like Ryan Reynolds, you're going to hate this
movie.
You're
not going to like this movie. Well, if you don't like Ryan Reynolds, don't watch anything he does at this point because he's just Ryan Reynolds. I haven't seen a movie where Ryan Reynolds isn't Ryan Reynolds. So this is the most Ryan Reynolds has ever been.
Yeah.
Other than Deadpool, maybe.
Yeah. And I guess in Free Guy, he was pretty Ryan Reynolds as well.
Yeah. And Dwayne Johnson's Dwayne Johnson. And Gal Gadot is Gal Gadot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think they're all themselves, but Dwayne Johnson is probably, he plays it more straight. Like, he's a little bit more serious in this one than some of these other movies, but he's still the same.
Yeah.
Massive man.
But I've got to say, they all play well off each other.
I'm surprised that this is the first time. Is this the first time Ryan Reynolds and Dwayne Johnson?
I think it is, yeah.
Feels like they should have been in
Hobbs
movies.
And Shaw.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was he in? Yeah, he was. He was in the scenes with The Rock. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
So I think that was the first time and this is the second time. They play well off each other. They're like, Ryan Reynolds kind of just roasts Dwayne Johnson.
We were expecting this to happen, but was there a scene with the tequila and the gin?
There is, yep. So at Ryan Reynolds' house, he drinks the gin before they come to arrest him.
Yeah.
Just mild spoilers.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Johnson has his tequila at a bar.
Oh, yeah. But not in the same scene.
Not in the same scene. Yeah. No, they don't cheers with their own tequila brands. And yeah. But it definitely was there. Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't think Gal Gadot has an alcohol company. But not yet. She probably makes some, I don't know.
What would she? Vodka?
She would make vodka. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yep. She's not Russian, but yeah.
Yeah.
She's close enough to Russia.
Close enough, yeah.
She's closer than the other two.
Yeah.
Negatives wise,
it's pretty generic.
It's pretty like forgettable, I guess. It's like you watch it and you're like, it's fun while you're watching it. There's some good jokes.
The storyline's pretty nonsensical, but it's very generic.
Yeah.
The only reason it's good is because it has these three actors in it.
Pretty much, yeah. I think with like all Ryan Reynolds movies, they're good when you watch them, but then afterwards you're like, yeah, they were fine.
It's because Ryan Reynolds carries the movie just with his humor.
Yeah.
But humor's not as funny the second time you watch it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and the stories themselves aren't like groundbreaking in any way. Like, which of his last, you know, five movies are actually not forgettable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe like Deadpool. Yeah.
Deadpool 1, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Deadpool 1. But all the other ones he's done, like Detective Pikachu, Free Guy, this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to give him credit that he carries a pretty shit storyline for whichever time you watch it for the first time, and you're always entertained.
Yeah. And I guess this has got The Rock and Gal Gadot as well. So they
With those three actors, it
brings it up.
It elevates it from being like a C-grade movie to a B-grade movie.
Yeah.
Or even possibly like A grade for the first time you watch it.
Yeah. Well, it's got some good action in it. So it feels like it's a big budget.
It's definitely one of the best movies I've seen on Netflix. I'm trying to think of something that's better than this on Netflix, and I'm struggling.
Yeah, there's probably non-action movies that are better than this, like the more the drama type movies that I know, like Uncut Gems and Marriage Story and stuff like that. I think they're... Yeah.
But as an action movie, they're usually pretty shit.
Yeah, they're usually not. Well, they're not near this level. Like, we watched that movie with Jason Momoa.
That was terrible.
Good. So, it's probably out of the action genre. It's the only one that comes close is probably that Zack Snyder one, Army of the Dead.
Yeah, this is much better than that.
So, it's pretty good. It's funny. It's better. It's honestly better than I thought it would be because I was not expecting to enjoy it that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would watch another movie with these people in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they sort of hint.
They hinted a sequel at the end.
Sequel?
Yeah. I don't know if they could do it because it was so costly to do this one.
Yeah.
But if they do another one, I'll definitely watch it. I don't know if they make money off these kind of movies.
Well, it's meant to drive subscriptions to Netflix, but at this stage.
Isn't it kind of you're subscribed or you're not?
Well, at this stage, if you have Netflix. It's either you have Netflix
or you're never going to get it.
Yeah, you're never going to get it. I think they kind of reached that saturation point. So I don't know.
I don't know if it does anything for them.
I guess it gets people to keep their subscriptions. I think that's what it is.
Yep.
Like people, if there wasn't good content, then people would just cancel.
We keep all the subscriptions. And our friend circles, they like to watch stuff, so they all keep the subscriptions.
Yeah.
But there's lots of people where I used to work, there was lots of, like, older people that, like, they don't keep their subscriptions. They, like, watch something and then they...
Just cancel.
They cancel it.
Yeah.
Or they keep it for a month and they cancel it. So something like this may bring some of those people back.
Yeah. And we only cancel subscriptions that, like, we truly don't need, like Stan, for example.
Yeah. Yep.
We don't need that. And Binge, I mean, it's fine. We got it for 1 month or whatever, but we wouldn't keep that.
Yeah.
But there's some that they regularly have content. So you can't, there's no point in us canceling for a month and then getting it again. So you might as well just keep it. It's like Disney Plus. They've had something like every month. So we haven't really had a chance to cancel it anyway.
Mm.
And I guess Netflix, I don't watch as many things on Netflix compared to Disney Plus, but. It still has stuff that I'd watch.
It's still got the biggest library out of everything else. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess those two are the big ones and then the rest.
Yeah. Look, if they do make another one of these, and I kind of want them to because I enjoyed this, I'll definitely watch it.
And I guess Amazon has some decent stuff as well. So, but Amazon has the additional, like, you get free shipping and all that. That's why we keep it.
Yeah.
Have you watched Wheel of Time?
No. I heard it was okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I haven't read the books, but I know there's like a cult following for the books. It's like a big fantasy series.
I probably won't get to it. It doesn't interest me. I'll wait till Lord of the Rings comes out.
We started watching it. Yeah. Like we watched the first, like probably the first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
We watched and then my wife's like, should we just watch Red Notice instead?
Yeah.
So we watched Red Notice instead. So I was actually going to watch Wheel of Time this week, but we just watched Red Notice.
Red Notice is, I haven't seen Wheel of Time, but I can say Red Notice is probably a better time than Wheel of Time.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of lore and
it's
stuff.
It's an easier think, time than
Wheel of Time. Yeah, I think you have to get into it. You have to invest a bit of time into it. Yeah.
If you just want a good time and just, you know, have a couple of laughs and not have to pay attention that much, then Red Notice. I don't know. It's something I might revisit in the future.
That's something. Like, if I forget, I will forget it. Like, in a year, I'll probably forget it. So, if I watch it again.
And I'll probably still enjoy it.
Did you know that Tom Cruise, Nicolas Cage, and Keanu Reeves were considered for parts?
Okay, no, I didn't. Yeah.
And Dwayne Johnson.
Who was going to be Gal Gadot?
Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage was nominated by Dwayne Johnson. So he wanted to get Nicolas Cage in this movie.
Oh, for Gal Gadot?
No, I think it would have been
Ryan Reynolds.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe they had another character?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't see. I'm guessing they would have rewritten the story for whoever they got in.
Ed Sheeran's in this movie?
Oh, yeah, he is at the end. Yeah. He says, I'm in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Which I don't think should be his. I don't think he should be. If Ed Sheeran sees someone on the street, he should be saying, I'm recognizable because I'm on Game of Thrones. Probably- like, say one of your albums or some shit. Don't say, I'm on Game of Thrones. Yeah, exactly. Karini's sitting in on the rest of this podcast.
We don't have another mic, but you could hear him like in the background somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about it. Like there's a joke about Vin Diesel, about his audition for Cats, which I'm pretty sure they just put in because Dwayne Johnson doesn't like
Does Vin that Diesel. Actually exist? Did you see that Instagram post that Vin Diesel did to Dwayne Johnson?
That he wants to be in... He wants him back?
Did you read it?
No, I didn't.
It's the biggest bullshit I've ever read. He's like, first off, he starts it off as my little brother, Dwayne Johnson. Don't call anyone your little brother, first off.
Yeah.
And
is he younger than? He probably is. I don't know. He's definitely not little.
You want to call your little brother, it's not Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. And he's like, it's your destiny to come back and be in this franchise. It's just a bunch of go back and read. It's hilarious.
Wait, what's the context of all this?
He wants Dwayne Johnson to come back
for Fast and Furious 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 9. I don't know what happens. Does he die in 9?
He's not in nine.
Yeah. So he said he's not going to do them anymore.
Because him and this is pretty funny. Him and Vin Diesel don't get along because Vin Diesel was like aggressive towards him in Fast and Furious 6 or 7 because he wanted to get a better performance out of him. This is legit.
Two shitty actors. they're not like some people that I go to.
For like premier acting. And you don't go to Fast and Furious 7 to get premier acting either. So I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
Anyway, is that exist? Did he do an audition for
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think that was just a joke that they wanted to put in because they don't get along.
But Ryan Reynolds says it, not him.
Yeah, that's right. Ryan Reynolds does say it. I don't know. Maybe Ryan Reynolds doesn't get along with him. I don't know. But Gal Gadot, pretty sure, because she was introduced to Fast and Furious by Vin Diesel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're actually all in the Fast and Furious franchise.
They are, yeah.
He was in Hobbs and Shaw. Now that he reminded me, I forgot that he was in it, but yeah.
He's like in a cameo, yeah. I think this movie is better than that movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Not much better.
Yeah. It's on par, maybe. Yeah. But this is direct to Netflix and that was in the theaters. So, yeah, so I guess. It's
different. What's her acting? Gal Gadot's acting.
We talked about it. They're all just themselves. So,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no acting. They're just, you know, they're just having fun. It looked like a fun movie, like to film. Like everyone seems like they had a good time.
It's fun, but it's not that good.
Is it a good movie?
I would say if you're bored on a weeknight and you just want to have a laugh, this is a great time. Yeah. Great time. Yeah. I'm not even saying good time. It's a great time. Yeah.
Like, honestly, it was better. I've already said it, but it was better than I thought.
Yeah.
It would be. Just because if you don't like Ryan Reynolds, you're probably going to hate it. If you don't like his style.
It's a lot of Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. But I like Ryan Reynolds' humor.
All right. Anything else?
No.
I guess we'll close it here then. So if you want to get in touch with us on either of these movies, let us know if you watched Last Night, because that's actually a good movie that people should watch.
Yeah.
How do they get in touch with us?
So you can contact us at Cognitive Recalibration on all platforms or email us at cognitiverecalibrationpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to support us, you can do so by giving us a review on your podcast streaming service. So if you're on iTunes, just give us a review and that makes us more discoverable on their search engine. Okay. It's time for some carnage.
Yeah.
Let there be carnage.
Yeah. We will be back next time.
Very soon.
With that review. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Should we just end it there?
That's it. Close it there. Let there be carnage.
Let there be carnage. Yeah. We'll get Woody Harrelson. What does he say in the trailer? It's like, I've tasted blood and that's not it.
Yeah, he does say that in the trailer. Yeah. He says other stuff as well, but it's a very weird thing to say.
Every time I see that in the trailer, I just laugh. I'm like, that's just such a weird thing to say.
It is.
Anyway, you'll hear from us about Venom, Let There Be Carnage in the next episode. So hope you're all staying safe. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.
See ya.